Joining us now is Jason Woolley on his own personal Jason Woolley Yuengling Hotline. Jason, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm good, Goat. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm fine. All right. You get one win. Miz tomorrow or the U.S. tonight? Which are you taking? That's our Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. There is no correct answer.
Tonight. It's not even, there is a correct answer. How can you possibly say a early July major league game that's one of 162 versus a chance to advance to the round of 16 in the World Cup?
Well, first of all, this round is made up.
I understand, but you still like to be in the round of 16 where you could have gotten had you won your group.
If you care about soccer. If you don't care about soccer, then, you know.
Well, yeah, but it's not like.
It's the Miz. It's not just one game. What?
If it's the Miz pitching game seven of the NLD, do they go seven in the division series now?
I think that's five. It's seven in the championship series. But I would say yes, but the development of every game he pitches and the development of Miz and the greatness and maintaining greatness how many innings is important. So that's why.
But he could pitch well and they could lose, right?
Like
he
but,
could
yeah, that doesn't
get a
matter.
No decision.
If he pitches well, that's good. And I would like a win.
Yeah.
That would mean even better. But so right, I don't know. You think it's a you vote the soccer. We'll see.
Even a huge soccer fan. It's just the gravity of the game in the grand scheme.
So
of
let's
their,
say
what
they
playing.
Lose. All right, let's say they lose. The U.S. loses.
Yeah, then it's a disappointing run. Just like it is for Germany and who else lost?
I think disappointing is too strong when it's soccer.
No, you want to be in the. You got to get to the round of 16. It's
in America.
Everybody, yes, for sure. This is supposed to be the team that is more prepared for that. And if they don't get, if they lose tonight to the Milwaukee Messi, and Bosnia Herzegovina.
Gavina. They love Gavina. Coffee there. Knew that. They're one of the...
is that right?
Yes, they're ninth in percentage per capita coffee consumption. I need to look that up because I wonder where the U.S. is. I assume the U.S.
is
probably
McDonald's
not number one.
There?
Like, I would think they do. It's an income better than you think. I couldn't find any athlete that you've ever heard of. And it used to be Yugoslavia, so you would think they might have some pretty good basketball players. Yugoslavia,
Serbians in that region, right?
Yeah. I don't really know. I just know that they drink a lot of coffee, and they're most everybody has the internet, and they're reasonably wealthy.
Okay,
so
good to know on all fronts.
But losing to them in anything in a team sport is pathetic.
So how are you voting?
I voted for Miz. Come on, Miz is a freak. You're having a chance to see greatness. The soccer means diddly squat. First of all, this is what irritates me. They're trying to make this team better than it really is. Now, if they end up being that good, fine. They become good only if they make the Elite Eight, because that's only happening. So we'll see. But if they lose tonight,
can't get to the Elite Eight if you lose tonight.
I know, but if you lose tonight, I said. I don't know
right,
how to.
The
I was
Brewers
thinking,
are still 19 games. If they lose tonight, they are correct. Still 19 games over 500.
Yes.
The Miz is still awesome. It's a loss to the Reds. It's not even a loss to the Cubs. Like, it's not.
Okay, that's,
the gravity of the game and the fact that the Miz could pitch great and they could lose a 1-0 pitcher's duel that he exits in the eighth inning and then their bullpen gives up a run in the top of the eighth. Like, it's not the end of the world.
You'll be happy. Team USA is doing well in the poll so far.
So. Well, we got 8 votes.
Now, there's no need to go to the number of votes at this point in time.
Hey, it just I don't get up. Any votes anymore either. Just, I used to get ever since Tasha's guy.
I don't know what's going
over,
on.
Well, I used to get like 1,000 votes easy. With
there's
every
something's
poll,
changed.
And now I get 76. Yeah. Tasha's guy ruined Twitter.
He may have, but it's all YouTube anyway. People that have questions in YouTube. How you can you can put a poll
I
up on YouTube.
I do like our YouTube. Yeah, I do like that. But again, not everybody votes. And like we got, I don't know, 300 people watching, usually 400 people watching. Yeah. Not everybody votes. So you still don't get a statistically meaningful number. I liked polls. I did. I really did enjoy that.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
Twitter.
I told you what happened.
I know you did. I don't believe that. I think it's much bigger than that.
No, it is. Yes, he ruined it on a much bigger scale.
Okay.
Okay, so what else do I talk about?
Every time now, it's like what you're working on regarding the Green Bay Packers. Did I convince you at all that there needs to be a study of how important it is to have decent cornerbacks and that the Packers, and in recent years, Goody has been horrible? How big a limitation does that put on the Packers? And even more so this year when you're missing Micah Parsons for, I believe, the first game he's going to play, guaranteed, I'd bet on it if I could, will be Dallas. He's not missing Dallas.
Yeah, I his brother continues to be on social media.
Right.
And take
so that you will appreciate it when he plays a little earlier than his brother said. He's not supposed to play
that
game. Oh, man. What a guy. This guy cares so much. He's playing early. Because now it's the half of the season, right? That's the standard they've set. Or his brother.
Yeah, I mean, they play 17 games.
Yep.
I think the Dallas game is the
eighth?
Sixth game.
Okay. All right. I'll have to look at this.
And he's saying not till week 7 or 8. So that would mean missing both the first Bears game and that Dallas game against his former team. But look. That is obviously, you know, that's down the road. He has told us repeatedly that he is banned from any football activities until the 9-month mark, which is September 29th. So I'm not thinking about Micah Parsons at all. To your point, you know, I mean, there's part of me that would say, no, Goody's done a really good job with inexpensive, low investment corners. I mean, you look at what Carrington Valentine has become, and as a seventh-round pick, he's not in the Mark Tauscher, Donald Driver, Adam Timmerman category of a great seventh-round find, but he's played a hell of a lot of football for them, and he's a pretty good cover guy. His tackling has been inconsistent, to be kind, but he's not a bad football player. Keyshawn Nixon, we spent way more time than we need to on him. But for what
I want to be president of his fan club, even given the screw ups that he has and the stupid plays
great.
He makes.
I will let
imagine
him know.
Imagine the cornerback if he position if he wasn't good, or a good number
good-ish.
Two. Good-ish, yeah. A number two if he wasn't.
Yeah. And again, I don't know enough about Brandon Cisse. You know, I obviously it's easy to go look on YouTube at highlights of draft picks of. Because they don't put together, unless you're Taylor Jenkins, which, by the way, I don't know him. I definitely sat too close to his tukus at the One Bucks game Sid and I went to a couple years ago when he was coaching the Grizzlies. But
he's a good coach.
He is. Yes. I've heard nothing but great things from people who know way more basketball than me. And the fact that he took those two first-round picks and when he met with them before the draft showed them their five worst plays, instead of telling them how great they were and talking about ways they can improve. And all. I mean, I'm sorry. There's lots of coaches that coach lots of different teams and lots of different sports. And whether you're coaching youth sports, high school sports, college or pro, and you are always looking for creative ways to get your message through and to have done that and have it resonated with those two guys who talked about it on draft night. I mean, I just thought that was, I was like, okay, I'm this guy's got my attention. Not that he didn't before, based on what Justin Garcia and a few other people that know basketball really well had told me. But I really like his approach, and I'm eager to, you know, it's funny, you know, obviously I'm not a Bucks fan. I want them to do well.
For people who don't know, Jason is not a fan of any team.
Correct.
He follows. I don't know what are you
not.
A fan of? That your daughters play on, but that's
yes. Family. I'm a fan of my children's teams.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly right. I want to see them succeed because they're related to me and I love them. But beyond that, I'm not.
By the way, do you know how much the Culvers paid to be on all the Wisconsin jerseys?
No, how much?
I don't know. It's got to be millions, right?
Great question for Sean Eichhorst. Hey. Did you sign off on this before you took the job? And if so, did you think we could have gotten more for the big blue logo? I'm still waiting for them to be partners on Wildy and Tausch, given how often we eat there. But unfortunately, that has not occurred. But my point was going to be that I get the sense, and this is just anecdotally, but kind of the way the Giannis era ended,
mm-hmm.
and kind of some, shall we say, blemishes on how maybe people viewed him.
That's good.
Some,
blemish.
Again, it's not a homogeneous group.
No, it's a blemish. There, blemish is perfect.
But there's, I think
you can
there
forgive
is,
blemishes.
Sure, and look, I don't think it sullied. It's just it felt like he was less than forthcoming. And I think because of that.
You're so nice. He just lied on a regular basis. Just lied. The definition of lies are some of the things that he said. If anybody wants to make a list of the top 10 lies that Giannis made, feel free.
I think the way that played out has allowed some, I don't know how many, but some Bucks fans to actually say, okay, yeah, he's a generational talent. I wish things had played out differently, but I'm excited about what could possibly be around the corner.
96% liked Giannis when we did it a while back, and the most recent one we had was like 84%. So it's
I totally he has every right to play wherever he wants. I get it, but I do think his exit made it a little bit easier, just like it made. This is not the same thing, but you know, there were so many Favre loyalists during that 08 season. And then when he went to the Vikings with that heel turn, it made it much easier to embrace Aaron Rodgers because he had done that. And Rodgers, you know, again, he's done some stuff now that you're kind of scratching your head at.
He's not, he's crazy.
I'm going to say things the way I say them, and then you can translate them into Homerisms if you'd like. I'm going to say he does some things that make you scratch your head.
Okay.
But his exit.
And I want to emphasize, I still think he's a great person. Just don't ask me to defend it. I know.
I understand.
Right.
But the way he exited, you know, without all the drama and the pomp and circumstance, made it so much easier on Jordan Love. And then, frankly, him going to New York and having the injury four plays in there, like, if he has, like, a boffo season and is really good and somehow he does elevate the otherwise crappy Jets, it would have been interesting to see. You know, obviously, Jordan played great in the second half of the season for the Packers that year, so that was awesome.
It would have just made you wonder what the heck happened the previous year when the team...
Right, exactly. And that would have given... I still maintain that...
What did happen that his last year in Green Bay?
They traded Devontae Adams. He broke his thumb in London. And again, one of the great...
But they could have come back at the end of the year.
There's no excuse for losing to a Lions team that had nothing to play for. But they were in that predicament because the guy played with a broken thumb on his throwing hand. And the double standard... Again, I don't care what... You know, there's certainly some things with Favre that I think even the most loyal Favre fans now look at and go, maybe I misjudged just how great of a guy this guy was. But they gave him so much. He was Teflon. And when he did something heroic, like play with a broken thumb, all fans did was, you know, just swoon over how great and what a tough guy and everything else. Rodgers did the same thing. And the 2022 season, the narrative about him is he sucked. No one gives him any sort of grace on it. Playing quarterback with a broken thumb on his throwing hand and having Alan Lazard as his number one receiver. And that's what happened in 2022.
Wow. By the way, the Boston Celtics have agreed to trade Jaylen Brown to the 76ers for Paul George, 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks. And for those of you who don't know Brad Stevens, he looks like a really nice guy, but he made the decision. We can't win with those two guys again anymore. So, he got as much as he could for Jaylen Brown. I will see. I'm not sure they can win with Paul George. Or whatever, but
that's interesting. I mean, again, I'm a sensitive guy, so I'm not here to judge other people.
Are you a sensitive guy?
I am. I'm incredibly sensitive.
I mean, I knew you're kind of sensitive. I don't.
Well, and I mean, I think sensitive.
You have high standards. You can be pretty tough about stuff.
I can be, but my feelings do get hurt, and I do care about people a lot, and I think that's part of being sensitive. Anyway, okay. If you're Jaylen Brown and you know that they were trying to trade you,
right.
Could you go back and play for them with and give them your all? I'd be curious.
Yes, that would be. I could.
That would be hard for me, and that's because I'm sensitive.
Well, but it was, you know, he played great, and but yeah, when they're, you see all these trades, you come in and say, okay, don't say all these things you like about him. That would be the only thing that Brad Stevens, he never said they were not going to trade him, but he could have been better off to say,
he's a smart guy though.
I will never forget when the Marquette played him. And I don't remember the game. It may have been on a tournament in, I don't know, the Caribbean or somewhere. And after the game, Buzz Williams said he's the best coach I've ever coached against.
Wow. So that's saying something from Buzz.
Yeah, and it was one game. He did this play that I had never seen before. They're down three. They inbound the ball. They do an alley-oop for a dunk. And you just assume they're going to take the dunk. And the person goes up, and instead of alley-oop, he turns the other direction on the wing, and there's the guy wide open for a three.
Uh-huh.
And I'd never seen that play before, and I think maybe I've seen it since, but it was just brilliant. There, you know, everybody kind of follows the ball, and this guy got a wide open three, who fortunately he missed, but I thought, now that.
That was a great Paul Harvey, the rest
well,
of the story.
Well, you're even though did. It was so great. Even though the shot missed, I went, why didn't anybody ever think of that before? But
yeah.
So yes, the history will say the same with them. Tatum and Brown, they won one. They won a title. They got a ring.
They did.
So
they're in the club.
Can you win another one with the two of them? I don't think so. So
neither does Brad.
Yeah, no, he doesn't think so. I would have given him another chance, but because Tatum always seems like he's a little too, I don't want to say soft, but he just kind of let things roll. And so let Brown be the man. And why couldn't he be the man with Tatum? I don't know the dynamic. Something's off there.
Question.
It's more like the Packers. You see situations when you cover them day to day, when you go, this isn't going to work, or this is going to work. I don't know when
yes,
you've.
For sure. Like Aaron Rodgers with two rookie wide receivers.
Did you really think that wouldn't work?
Yeah, he was. I mean, he's again.
But
I've
see, I would say to him
plenty of times,
Aaron,
but
you're the best. Okay, here's what you do. You tell them what to do. You recognize their limitations, and that's what you do, and make the best out of that. Like now, right. He's doing that. What every pass he threw was 5 yards or less, right? Last year, he set some kind of record. He knows he doesn't have an. Oh, go ahead.
My criticism for him, and I will stand by this, and I would say this to his face because I know it wouldn't bother him. But again, he had every opportunity to be fun Uncle Aaron, and he chose instead to be, I don't want to be part of rebuilding. And I think that was a mistake. And I don't know how differently the season would have gone.
Were they so bad that he didn't think they could learn whatever level?
No.
Right. That he's like, all right.
You saw what Watson did late in his rookie season. Like, you saw that. So if he had a different attitude from the jump, I would have liked to have seen what that would have looked like.
Because it would have possibly amped his reputation even more.
It would have.
You
exactly.
Want to say, hey, dude, if you can make these guys better than they really are this year, the rest of their careers, people will go back and go, damn, what? Yeah, they were good with Rodgers.
And right.
You didn't want to do that.
Instead,
why didn't he want to do that? That doesn't.
Because he was a grumpy old man, I guess. But look,
right.
He's one of those people, and I have had many.
Have you
of
asked
these in
him
my
that?
Life.
What his problem was?
I've not. I haven't talked to him about that in a while. But I would have, if I had gotten through on the Zoom call with him when they played the Steelers. But he's one of those people that they don't say I was wrong. What they do is they adjust their behavior. Which
yes.
is a tacit admission that they were wrong, and I think he's clearly done that. He did it in New York. He's done it in Pittsburgh. Like, I think he would. What I would ask him, and
you know I have only one question. It used to be about your family. You know what it is now? What the hell happened to you? What happened?
I am hoping that we make the trip to Pittsburgh for the preseason game and I can talk with them because I would like to do that. I will put what the hell happened to you. I would say Homer has requested for me to ask you this very important question.
Homer, who says you're a great person, but he doesn't think he can defend the position.
We can frame it however
you
want.
You're crazy. What the hell happened to you? I don't. He probably, knowing him, he'd probably say.
I think he might get a good answer.
Nothing. Yeah. What do you mean? I'm no different now than I was before. But
I'm not going to let him off the hook.
I know you won't. That's why I stopped doing the show. That's the only thing I get irritated with you about.
Me?
Yeah.
What did I do?
Because you need to tell the truth on why that show ended. That show ended because he liked it so much, but he knew that you would follow up and he couldn't get away with crap without it being challenged by you, as nice as you are and as much as he liked you as a friend. And he was correct because everywhere he's gone since, they don't ever do a follow-up. And if you were, and I know you've seen the interviews and you went, come on, you got to ask this.
No, it's all right. This will be it for us today.
Oh, we're going to finish with this?
Yes, we're going to finish with this.
Okay.
So I will not interrupt. Here to comment on any of his other shows that he's done. I would just say this to your point about what the hell happened to you. He was fearless with that show for 4 years. Like I've told the story before, but it bears repeating so you understand what our dynamic was. Because again, Craig Karmazin forced me to do that show. I said, let Homer do it. And you guys, apparently, it did not go well when you tried
no,
it out.
No, I told Craig, I don't want to do the show. It's not going to work. You need to have Jason do it. And I don't know that anything, but I said I'm not doing
it. No, I think it had a lot to do with it, yes. So anyway, he comes into my office the first time we do it, and he says, look, I know that your ethics are important to you. I don't want you to pull any punches. I don't want the questions in advance. Whatever you dish out, I can handle. So ask whatever you want to ask, just like you would if we were doing a regular interview. I don't want this to be a bunch of softballs because I know that that's not what you want it to be. And I was like, great. He diffused all the concerns I had. Now, there are people that obviously, certain retired beat writers and others who painted me as a sycophant to him. I don't think they were right. And he didn't require me to be that. Now, were there subsequent shows with other people that I found difficult to watch because there was such a different dynamic? Yes, I would admit that. But with me, he never once said, you can't ask me about this.
So why did he stop doing the show?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry to interrupt.
The only time that he ever wouldn't answer a question was when we talked about him getting engaged. And his fiance at the time being at a Vanderbilt football game with what appeared to be like a rock the size of one of those candy rings that kids get, and was so invisible on the TV broadcast. He did not want to discuss that. He wanted to keep his private life private. But with that exception and the stupid whole way that the PR staff wanted us to handle the rumors about him being gay, we never once had an issue with anything I asked or his ability to answer it.
And you are proud of that show. I'm sure.
I am.
Yes.
I'm very much so.
Okay. Yep, we'll end on that. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.